God bless you. Thank you. I like that phrase, lay on me what you got for me. Amen. Amen. Well, it's a great joy to be here this morning. I want to thank you, Pastor, and I want to thank you for the great privilege to be here. Joanne and I represent those 7.3 billion people. Those that make up those 7.3 billion people, those who do not have a copy of God's Word. We represent those this morning. We represent those who are in heathen darkness that have no hope this life or in the life to come. Joanne and I, we represent those this morning to you. And we say, will you help us reach part of those 7.3 billion people spiritually that do not know their left hand from their right hand? They have no idea how to get to heaven. Why? Because they don't have a Bible. They don't know how. They don't have a copy of God's Word. And so I had the wonderful privilege of pastoring for 32 years. And then the Lord led my wife and I into this ministry with Mount Pisgah Scripture Printing of printing Bibles. And we supply them, most all of our Bibles that we print. And we have printed millions since 1972 when Mount Pisgah Scripture Printing Ministry was started. We will print hundreds of thousands. We just got through printing 100,000 John and Romans in the Thai language. And they have already been shipped. And I'll give you some more projects that we're working on. But we represent those this morning, my wife and I. And we represent those people to you today that are crying, like in Acts chapter 16, the Bible says, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And that cry this morning is running down through the corridors of time and through the ages and all the way down to a little church in North Carolina, Calvary's Cross Baptist Church. And my heart's cry this morning is, do we hear their cry? They need a Bible. We print the New Testament. We print the whole Bible. We print John and Romans. And this is Swahili. This is, let me check and see. Somebody said, can you read Swahili? No, I can't even say Swahili. And this is the Arabic Bible. Somebody said, can you read the Arabic Bible? No. French? No. We print 22 different languages. And our brother asked me, how many languages were you printing last year when you were here? And I said, 19. And we have added that many more languages already. And so we're printing in 22 different languages. And most all of our Bibles, as I said, go to those who have never had a copy of the Bible. These are some of the languages that we print: English, Spanish, Portuguese, German, Italian, Swahili, Cambodian, Russian, Olongo, Hungarian, Greek, Swabano, the Philippines language, Polish, French, French Creole, Ketuba, Arabic, Japanese, the Thai language. We are working on, and I want to say thank you. This is our third year that you've invited us here. And a lot of churches, they'll invite us one time, and then they'll give us a nice offering. They think their work is done. But this is your third time. And I hope next year will be the fourth time. And if Jesus tarries, the next year the fifth time. And the next year the sixth time. Why? Because there are more lost people being born every day than are being saved. And the work is greater now in 2017 than it was when I was here last year in 2016 and in 2015. We have more people to reach today than we had last year. We have more Bibles that we need to print. We're getting all kinds of requests. And here's a bunch of them right here. And let me give you these over here. And because I don't have time to do everything this morning that I would love to do. And I got this from Mount Pisgah. And as of November 2016, there's a great need of millions of Bibles, get this, requested by the government of New Guinea to be given to those in their school system. And so they want millions. They requested 5 million Bibles from us. We can't supply them. And we'll supply all that we can, but we can't supply 5 million. But they want 5 million Bibles to go in their public school system. And wouldn't that be great if we could pass out the Bibles in the American school system? And wouldn't that be fantastic? I don't know why in the world we keep Bibles away from them in school and then give it to them in prison. I mean, that just don't make too much sense to me, amen? And give it to them now where they won't go to prison. And that's the thing for me. But that's one of the needs. We have a guy in our church who's going to Mexico in the end of this month. And called me the other day, and he wanted several hundred Bibles. And we've done that. We've already shipped them. They'll be there when he gets there. We have, and this is one of the great projects that we are working on, and that is in the country of Honduras. There are some missionaries there that have gotten together, and I don't know their names, and I know the names of one of them there that was we saw at the when Joanne and I was in Oliver Springs there at the printing ministry, and he has requested that we, if we can we supply 1 million copies of John and Romans. And what they want to do is they want to get a portion of God's word into 1 million households in Honduras. And we were thinking, boy, if there's a missionary that has that kind of a burden, why can't God give us that burden to make sure that we print 1 million copies of John and Romans and ship them to Honduras? And so that's the mission and that's the project, along with as many Bibles that we can send to New Guinea. We've sent Bibles to Cuba. We send Bibles to 18 or 20 different countries in a year. And what we're now, we're stressing, we're asking you to pray for us and to help us get 1 million copies of John and Romans to the country of Honduras. And there's a guy that has already promised to pay for the shipping, thousands of dollars, just for the shipping. And he has promised to pray for that. And so all we've got to do is raise the money, and we have got $100,000+ of that already, and I just believe God's going to raise it up where we'll be able to ship that missionary in Honduras 1 million copies of God's word. Won't that be fantastic? And somebody's saying, well, how much does it cost to print a copy of John and Romans? Not for shipping, but just what it costs for one copy of John and Romans in the Spanish language. And that's what we'll be shipping there to Honduras. It cost 25 cents. We can purchase the paper, purchase the ink, print them, bind them. We put in plastic copies on them, copies that will last longer. And we can do all of that for 25 cents apiece. I was preaching in a church, I don't know, where I was, but anyway, I was preaching. I got through, and the preacher said, "We're going to take a special offering this morning for this ministry." And he asked me to go to the back table. And so I went to the back table. As I was going walking back to the back table, there was a lady that stepped out in the middle of the aisle. And she said, "Preacher," she said, "wait just a minute." She said, and I noticed that she had some dollar bills all crumbled up, and she had some change in her hand. And she had two little boys sitting on the right-hand side. And those were her two little grandsons. And she said, she heard me say that we can print the whole Bible for $3. New Testament for a dollar. John and Romans for 25 cents. We do everything in-house. We purchase the paper, buy the ink, have all the labor. We do everything in-house. Box them up, call ups, and ship them to the foreign countries. And she said, my two little grandsons were sitting here, and they went through all of their pockets and so forth, and they have come up with $6. And they want to give this $6 to you so that two little boys somewhere else can have a copy of God's Word. So as you and I sit here, and I just did some figuring, what is a dollar? It's hard to buy a soda for a dollar. But did you know for a dollar that you can print four copies of John and Romans in the Spanish language, and we'll ship them to Honduras, to a family, to a home that's never had a copy of the Bible of any kind, any sort, any way, anything. We can do that. A dollar for four. As a matter of fact, and if you want to give $10, we can ship 40. And if you wanted to give $50, we can ship 200. And if you want to give $250, we can ship 1,000. John and Romans. Getting God's word around the world. $250 for 1,000. You say, well, I only have $125. We can ship 500 there. 500, John and Romans. If you want, say, I've got a $100 bill. We can print and ship 400 John and Romans to the country of Honduras. That means 100 homes on a little country, in a little country, and that most people have forgotten about, can receive a copy of God's Word. I was in a grocery store one day, and there's a lady in front of Joanne and I, and I could see that she was very poor. And she was there, and as a matter of fact, she had gone over and she had gotten some of the meat that they had marked down. You had it a lot of times. I don't know about the stores around here and so forth, but she had gotten some meat, and they had marked it down half price, and she had one of them. One of them wasn't, and she thought it was. And anyway, the lady told us that she couldn't have that one. I don't know what she had. She had a few dollars worth of groceries and so forth, and they were going to put that back and put part of her groceries back. And so Joanne and I was there, and I said, we'll take care of her groceries. Whatever she wants, we'll take care of it. I'll tell you another story. Now, I'm not telling just about me. If you'll tell me a story about you, I'll tell your story. And Joanne and I was in a gas station. We like Dunkin' Donut coffee, and we were there getting a cup of Dunkin' Donut coffee, and there was a young lady there that we had met, and she would move from West Virginia to Virginia, and she was working there. She had two little kids, and we could tell that morning she was having a hard time, and we asked her, said, you know, you look like you're having a hard time today, and she said, yes, she said, I wrecked my car last night, and said, got off at 12 o'clock, had to go get my two kids. She said, my husband left me last week. She said, I don't know what I'm going to do. And Joanne looked at me, and she said, have you got any money? And I said, no, I don't have any. And then I thought, I had a secret compartment. I don't like to tell my wife about these secret compartments. And anyway, I had a secret compartment, and I tucked a $100 bill back in there. And I tucked that $100 bill, and I said, I won't admit this to you, but I've got this $100 bill that I've got stuck back in here. And she said, we'll give that to her. And all of a sudden, when I gave it to her, she busted out crying. And there were people in line, and I'm thinking, oh, no, what have I done? And here are people waiting to get waited on. She was there weeping and crying. And the reason I told you that is this. We took care of some temporal needs that people had. But could I ask you a question? What's the most important, the spiritual or the temporal? What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world, the Bible says, and you help me out, and loses what? His own soul. So even though we took care of some temporal needs for some folks, yet the greatest need is for people spiritually to receive a copy of God's Word in order that they might read John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And that's the greatest need. And folks, we have so much. We have so much. And, you know, there's not a person in this building this morning that could not give something that somebody might receive, a John in Romans in the country of Honduras, to find out how to be saved. And that's the reason Joanne and I are here this morning. We represent those untold millions, even billions around the world, that do not have a copy of the Bible. And Joanne and I, we're not asking for us. Not a dime that we get from any church when we go at fundraising goes to us. And I like it like that. Everything goes to the purchase of paper. So we're not asking for ourselves. We're asking for those that I've never seen. But I hear them. I hear them. And just like the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 16 in the Macedonian cry, "I've never seen them, but I hear them." Come over into Macedonia and help us. And so one day, a plane's going to land in the country of Honduras. And on that plane will be the greatest message that's ever been told. And they're going to unload those boxes of the Word of God. And those missionaries are going to take them to those villages. And they're going to open up those boxes. And they're going to pass out copies of God's Word that tells them that they're sinners, but they have hope. And hope is found in Jesus Christ, not found in the church. It's not found in individuals. It's not found in doing good. It's not found in baptism, but it's found in a person. And they're going to find out for the very first time as they open up that wonderful book called, and they're going to read John chapter 1, and they're going to have been able to turn to the book of Romans chapter 1 and read that God loves them. I have some of these on the back table, statements from great men about the Bible. You know, the Bible is being attacked. You know that. One of the politicians, one of President Trump's men was to be confirmed in some office or something like that. And some of the men there on, I could call his name. And if you haven't read it in the paper and so forth, you will. And because this gentleman had spoke, I think it was at Wheaton College or something, and he was going over what Wheaton believed and so forth and talked about how the salvation is found only in Jesus Christ. And this guy that was questioning him for that office, this congressman from Vermont, and he said, "You mean to tell me that a Muslim doesn't have a chance?" He said, "I don't know whether you can fulfill the office if you believe that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven, and a Muslim doesn't have a chance unless it's found in Jesus Christ." Well, I got news for the congressman from Vermont. That's true. And he might not like it, and he might not want to accept it, but that's what the Bible says, and that's the truth of it. And, you know, they never say anything else about, you know, attacking any other religion, but they always attack the Christian religion, and they attack the Bible. But we've just got to stand firm on the Bible. And there are so many things. This will tell you what George Washington said, the first president of the United States, talking about the Bible and talking about God. All kinds of quotes in here. Samuel Adams, United States Congressional Endorsement of the Bible and God. What John Adams said about the Bible. What about the Constitution says about the Bible. What Abraham Lincoln said about the Bible. And it goes all the way down to what, I have some of these on the back table. I had some last year. I had to send you some more. And what Ronald Reagan said about the Bible. The last quote of that said, "Inside the Bible's pages lie the answers to all the problems that mankind has ever known." I hope Americans will read and study the Bible, Ronald Reagan. No book like this book. called the Bible. Amen. You know how I'm going to heaven? Because of this book called the Bible. You know how I know Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven? Because the Bible says so. Amen. Here's what somebody else said. Said, man has no hope without the Bible. Man has no knowledge of the future without the Bible. How do I know that when I die, I'm going to heaven? Who tells me? New York Times? Washington Post? CNN? Just the Bible. Only the Bible. That's the reason people need the Bible. Greatest book. Somebody said, to this book I will cling, of its worth I will sing, though great losses and crosses be mine. But I will not despair, though surrounded by care, while possessing this blessing divine. I like that little thing about the Bible and being torn. And that's the way mine is right now. But honest to goodness, I hope, I don't know how much longer I'm going to live, but I don't want a new Bible because, you know, if I do, you know, I got all my notes in here. And I don't know, I've used in 32 years of pastoring, I don't know, 6 or 7, I've wore them out. And I want this one to just stick with me. And I'll be 75 my next birthday, and I figure I only have about 25 years left to preach. And so, you know what I'm hoping? I'm hoping this old book called the Bible, this one right here, will last me for 25 more years. Amen? Ah, there's nothing like the Bible. Don't you love the Bible? And here are a couple other quotes here. The Bible is the most treasured possession. We have no assurance of eternal life without the Bible. Robert E. Lee said that. Not the general. You'll get that later. Matthew chapter 4. You know, there are all kind of verses I want to use this morning. And the time what I've had and the time that the Lord has allotted me. Turn to Isaiah chapter 55 and let me give you this verse here. In Isaiah chapter 55. And there are so many that I want to use this morning. Isaiah chapter 55. But I want you to notice something. Isaiah chapter 55. Amen. Why don't we all stand while I read this one verse? Those of you that can, you can't, that's fine. Just let me read this one verse. Isaiah 55:11. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. Now notice, it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Thank you. You may be seated. Now what did the Bible say? So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void. In other words, it's not going to return empty. God is going to accomplish something out of the Word of God. Whenever the Bible is taught, whenever the Bible is preached, God will work in men's life and men's hearts if they want God to work in their life and heart. And it will not return void. It's going to accomplish that which God has intended for it to accomplish. And so there is no book like this book call the Bible. It will not return void. Don't turn, but listen to this verse. Romans 10, verse 17. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. In the book of Acts chapter 18 and verse 8, the Bible says, to those that heard, they hearing believed. But they had to hear. They had to hear in order to believe. You know, I don't suppose, I may be wrong, but I don't suppose that probably there are a lot of millionaires here this morning. Maybe some. Maybe more than I know. And I hope it is. But you say, well, preacher, you know, I don't have a whole lot of money. Well, you just like all of us. You just like most Baptist preachers, right? But I want to give you a promise. And I've, listen, God has helped me down through the years and so forth with promises like this one from the Bible. And you give, and here's what God's going to do to you. In the book of Philippians, verse 19, it says, "But my God shall supply all your need." That's God's promise. That's God's promise to you. And he's talking about in the book of Philippians chapter 4, and the apostle Paul said in verse 15, "Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent once and again until my necessity." Paul said, "Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account." Paul said, God's going to put that on your account. Fruit that may abide to your account. Paul said, "But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice, well-pleasing to God." And probably what many of you will give to this project, it will be sacrificial. Well, here's God's promise to you. I'll read it again. "A sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in grace by Christ Jesus." So God has promised that what you give, God will bless you for it. And there's all kinds of scriptures on giving, and Luke chapter 6 and verse 38, and you know, when our Lord went into the wilderness and he came out in Matthew chapter 4, look right there just for a moment, Matthew chapter 4. And I always like to, I don't like to preach more than the time that the preacher preaches when I go places. And I checked with Pastor Pinnell and I said, "Preacher, what time do you usually get through on Sunday mornings?" And he said, "Well, preacher, I usually get through by at least 1 o'clock. And so I've got an hour and 10 minutes left, and before 1 o'clock, and no, I'm only kidding, but let me give you this. Jesus has gone into the wilderness. Look in chapter 4 and verse 4. "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tested," or tempted, "to the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward a hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said," now notice in this passage, he's not called old Slewfoot. He's not called Satan. He's called the tempter. And what Satan will do this week will tempt you. He'll tempt you to turn your back on God. He'll tempt you to do something you ought not do. He'll tempt you. And the reason I want to give you these things here quickly is because there is a pattern for life that Jesus used here in Matthew chapter 4. And it proves the importance of the Bible. And the pattern of life that Jesus gave here is the pattern of life that's for me. And it's for you. And so the tempter came. Look back in verse 3, Matthew chapter 4. "And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. Jesus answered, That's he, and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any times thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again. The devil doesn't leave you alone, does he? Again. 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 But he does in just a moment to Jesus. Verse 8. "Again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then said Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is, what's that next word? Written. What's in the world? What are the three things we're tempted about in the world? John wrote it in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 2. Lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Jesus, in this passage in Matthew chapter 4, answered all four of them. The devil came and said, make these stones bread, satisfy your flesh. Jesus said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Came to him again and said, why don't you just jump off this temple? I mean, he's given angels charge of you. I mean, listen, not going anything going to happen to you. And just jump off. And Jesus said, no, you don't tempt God. That's a pride of life. The third time was in the middle there. The devil taking Jesus up there into a mountain said, look at it. Look at the world. Look at it. Look at all of it. Look at all the things. Look at everything. I'm going to give you all of this. Jesus said, as he talked about the lust of the eyes, you get it, you're going to have all of this. No, Jesus said again, it is written. It is written. It is written. It is written. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, the pride of life. Now, I want you to notice something. Look back at verse 7 with me. Jesus saith unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and said, all these things will I give thee if you'll fall down and just worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And then notice verse 11. Then the devil leaveth him. Why did the devil leave him then? Because the devil had nothing else to say. He had thrown everything to Jesus that the world has to offer. Everything. Lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. And he had thrown all of those things at Jesus, and Jesus had answered every one of them by the explanation, it is written. It is written. It is written. Every problem in this life, there's a remedy in the Bible for me. Every problem in life for you is found right here in this blessed book called the Bible. It's here. And so the devil had used up all his ammo. He had nothing else to say. And he had to leave. And when you and I stand firm, and when we are tempted, and we turn to this blessed book called the Bible, God will give us what we need. It is written. You see, that's a reason, one of the reasons we need to heed the Macedonian call. Come over to Macedonia and help us. We have no defense for Satan. We have no defense for the tempter. Come over into Macedonia and help us. How much does God love us? How much does God love us? You know, we're supposed to, if we can, the best we can, we're to be like Jesus, right? The best we can. Well, he loves us so much. He loved us enough to leave the ivory palaces of glory, send his son into this world to take my place on Calvary. I think of the story when I think about God's love, and I'm through. I think about God's love, and I think about a love a man had by the name of P.P. Bliss for his wife. In your hymn books, if you have any hymn books around, old hymn books or whatever, and you'll find several in your hymn book songs that P.P. Bliss wrote. And he was a great songwriter. He was a confidant of D.L. Moody. You've heard of D.L. Moody. And he was a confidant of D.L. Moody. And P.P. Bliss was 38 years of age. It was December the 28th. And 1800, and I've forgotten exactly the date, 1800 and some, him and his wife had left their two little boys with her sister, ages 1 and 4. And P.P. Bliss and his wife had boarded a train going to Ohio and to be there with D.L. Moody. He was getting there a couple of days ahead of time. And back in those days, the late 1800s and early 1800s, railroad trestles made out of wood. And the train going across one of those railroad trestles, and there'd been heavy rains and so forth, had weakened those trestles. 11 cars on that train. And when the train started over that trestle began to crumble and fall. 11 cars plummeted to the bottom of that canyon. And they say because of the kerosene heaters on those trains to keep them warm back in those days, and this was the end of December, before they ever hit the bottom of that canyon, some of those cars were on fire. Out of the 159 people there, 93 lost their life. P.P. Bliss escaped the carnage and the wreckage, and he was able to free himself. But his wife was caught there with the embers and so forth, and the cars beginning to burn. And he got some others, and P.P. Bliss was working and so forth, and the other was trying to get those timbers and trying to free his wife. And they was working and working, and the fires were getting closer and closer and closer. And P.P. Bliss, 38 years of age, they had two little boys, 1 and 4, back home. And he's working feverishly to get his wife out of there and to free her. And he's working, and the fire's getting closer and closer and closer. And those that were helping him, they finally had to flee. And P.P. Bliss is there, and he keeps working and trying. The flames are getting closer, and when they get there, he embraces his wife. And they meet the flames together. Their bodies were never found. You say, preacher, what love? What love? 38-year-old man who could have walked away free gave his life for his wife. That's a love I don't understand. I can understand a little being a husband. That's what I would want to do. But there's a love so deeper and so far richer that I cannot comprehend with my mind, and that is God's love for us. That God would love me enough to send his son to take my place on an old rugged cross, and then give me the wonderful privilege to be able to help others have a copy of this book. You know, we talk about those in Honduras, and they need to be saved. And, well, you know, folks in America need to be saved. Folks in this building, if you're here and you've never been saved, you need to be saved. You need to be saved today. And you can be saved today. If you repent of your sins and receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. And if you don't do that, you have no hope. I don't care if you're a member. I don't care what your church you're a member of. I don't care whether you're a Baptist or whatever, the son of a Baptist, or it doesn't make any difference. Whether your mama's a Christian, your dad is a Christian, your dad is a preacher, mama's a preacher, whatever the case may be, a missionary. It's a personal thing between you and God. And if you don't get it settled yourself, you have no hope. My daughter received her birthday. I walked into her house one day, and there was a homemade sign there, and I could tell it was homemade. I never seen it before. It was over on sitting on her, not her piano, but what do you call it, Joanne? Thing that you play, that keyboard. And was sitting on there, and I noticed, I walked over there, and it had 6 words on it. And 2 of the words were big. And it said, "It is well with my soul." You know what? By the way, H.B. Spafford wrote that, and that's a story behind that, why he wrote that, "It is well with my soul." But you know who put it to music? P.P. Bliss put that to music. H.B. Spafford wrote the poem, but P.P. Bliss put it to music before he died. But could I ask you the question? Is it well with your soul this morning? If you should die today, would you go to heaven? Now, I'm not talking to you hope so, possibly so. But are you dead so? I mean, do you know it beyond a shadow of a doubt? I mean, there's no doubt. None. I stood before God today. I know that I would stand before God as a saved person, not somebody that's lost. I hope you can say that today. And if you cannot say that today, now you can before you leave the building. If today you'd receive Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not talking about just having a head knowledge about Him. I got saved when I was 27. Always believed the Bible was the Word of God. Always believed that Jesus Christ died on the cross. Always believed that Jesus Christ rose from the grave. But I had it right here. I'd never repented of my sins and received Jesus Christ as my Savior. And when I did, I became a new creature in Christ Jesus. He changed my life. And He'll change your life. A life made new. I've got a gospel track I wrote back there called "A Life Made New." And that's what the Lord did for me. And that's what the Lord will do for you. And I'm not asking you today if you're a member of a church. I'm not asking you if you've been baptized. I'm asking you this morning, if you died right now today, would you go to heaven? And know it. If you say, "Preach, I don't know that." In just a moment, I'm going to ask the pianist. I'm going to have a word of prayer. I'm going to ask the pianist to come to the piano and begin to play. And she begins to play. And you cannot say for 100% sure, "I'm saved and on my way to heaven." I want you to come. Somebody will take the Bible and show you from the Bible how to be saved and how to know it. It's not what I say, it's what God says. Amen. And would you pray about what God would have you to do concerning the Macedonian call coming from Honduras in the weeks ahead, to help those get a copy of the most treasured possession they could ever receive, called the Bible. Would you stand with me just for a moment? Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I'm going to have a word of prayer. As soon as I have a word of prayer, the pianist will begin to play. Here's my plea this morning. If you're here and you do not know for sure you're saved, would you come this morning? Let somebody take the Bible, show you how to be saved. And by your coming, what you're saying is, "I'm coming to receive Jesus Christ. I'm coming to be saved. I'm coming to make Him a Savior so that when I die, I'll go to heaven. I'm coming this morning, getting rid of my sin, giving it to Jesus." If you had come this morning, you can be saved. Heavenly Father, I thank You this morning for the blood that was shed on Calvary 2,000 years ago. I thank You for Jesus, who was willing to leave the ivory palaces of glory and come into this world of sin and will take my place, take a sinner's place on Calvary, and be saved. And dear Lord, I pray this morning, should there be somebody here that's never been saved, I pray that today, Lord, they'd repent of their sins, receive Christ as their payment for sin, as their only way to heaven. I pray You'd help them this morning. Lord, I pray You'd help them to come and say, "Yes, I do not know for sure that I'm saved, but I want to be saved." And Lord, get it settled this morning. I pray You'd help somebody today and save them before it's everlasting too late. We ask it in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I'm going to ask the pianist to begin to play. If she begins to play this morning, and God spoke to your heart, and you need to come and receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, you come this morning. You come. You ask God what He would have you to do this morning. Do you know for sure you're saved this morning? If not, come and get it settled. Is it well with your soul? I want to thank you for allowing me to come this morning, and I thank you, brother, and I'll thank the preacher, and thank you for what you're going to do for those people in Honduras and for those people in New Guinea and who don't have a copy of the Bible like we've got. And God has blessed me, and Joanne and I, we're not just missionaries with Mount Pisgah. We give to Mount Pisgah ourselves in order that people might receive a copy of God's Word. And so whatever you can do to help us, it'd be a great blessing. Be a great blessing to those people who've never had a copy of the Bible. Aren't you glad you got the Bible? Amen. Don't you love the Bible? If you love the Bible, just say amen. Amen, amen, hallelujah, and glory. Amen. Brother, you come and...